their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board with Let's Face the Issues as we travel down the road of facing issues each and every day. May I remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. One of the Scriptures text that comes out at me this morning in particular, after viewing much of the debate last evening, reading multiple articles about what others are saying, in Psalms 146 and verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, we watched last evening across the nation and perhaps globally, those that were tuned in, eight people want to be presidents, of which I have no confidence in anyone that I watched last evening, but I say that up front. My question is today, the issue that we're talking about, so who won the debate? Who won the debate? Who makes the decision on who won it? Who's the judge and the arbiter of that winning? Ladies and gentlemen, millions and millions watched the first Republican wannabe presidential debate. All the media today, I turned the dial this morning trying to find some real news on television. Usually 6:37 o'clock, having breakfast, turn the dial around to see what the latest buzz is from the socialist Marxist media on every channel. I couldn't find any real news. All the media was buzzing about who won the debate, what was said. Some said Nikki Haley, others said Ron DeSantis. A few pointed to Mike Pence. But ladies and gentlemen, most were talking about Vivek Ramaswamy, the 38-year-old exceptionally good speaker who is worth about $1 billion. But may I say, just to hold on a moment, because I'm in full disagreement with Vivek. He wants to disengage with Israel. He is a Hindu that embraces all religions. And I don't know of anything that could be any worse for America than to have a Hindu president. Now, some might disagree. That's all right. That's what this open mic is about, for you to call in and give your dialogue and discussion on the issues. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Glenn Beck reacts, who won and who kissed their chances goodbye at last night's GOP presidential debate. Last night, the GOP presidential debate, Glenn Beck says, landed some candidates on the moon, others among the stars, a few somewhere in the deep space. Glenn Beck unveils his reaction to each of the candidates' performance. Asa Hutchinson, ooh, he's over. Chris Christie, I thought he seemed very, very, very out of touch. Nikki Haley, well, that's Nikki Haley. Doug Burgum, no matter how many times he came on the screen, my first thought was, who is that again? Tim Scott was fine. I think there were really two winners last night. According to Blaze TV audience, 37% said Ron DeSantis, while 52% said Vivek Ramaswamy. Ultimately, Glenn Beck thinks the race really is between those two and Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about that today. The thing that I want us to understand as we face the issues today, we're going to be looking at what all of the candidates talked about. But the deeply troubling issue that I'm concerned about today are the issues that none of them talked about. That's the real issues, the fundamental, foundational issues in America today. So, ladies and gentlemen, to face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Truth Book, John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further in John 17:17, the Bible makes a direct declaratory statement. Thy word is truth, speaking about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It was the secularist George Orwell that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 117 verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't fade. It doesn't modulate. It doesn't change. It doesn't have to be updated. It doesn't have to be rewritten. Artificial intelligence cannot, improve on what we find in the Word of God. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the decline of truth is linked to the decline in America is linked to the death of truth. DeMint says this, among other things, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even among the Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it sad when we have, at the starting gate of the 2024 election, and we find so many that are running for office, want to be presidents, as I call them, on both sides of the aisle, and yet there is very, very little willingness to focus on the truth, the underlying, fundamental, elemental values or the lack thereof in America. We'll talk about that as we face the issues today. But may I remind you, when it comes to truth, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, Jan Hus, as he was being burned at the stake, screamed out, truth shall prevail. Now, standing on the truth doesn't mean that you'll win friends and influence people. Standing on the truth does not mean that you'll be embraced by the society in general. Standing on the truth, whether it be political, social, economic, theological, doctrinal truth, if you stand on truth, you will not find multitudes that will embrace you. But standing on the truth is the ideal. It is the recommended, medicine for the shape, condition of society today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful benchmark, an identifier, easy to find mark, 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time, 165-foot flagpole, huge, gigantic U.S. flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me set the benchmark just a little for us. What I'm looking for today, those that will call, the callers, you listeners, call in, join the dialogue and discussion. Did you watch the debate? What are your thoughts? Who won? Who did not? What was not discussed that you thought ought to have been discussed? What was discussed that was not proper and was improperly put? What do you think about those two or three that was willing to hammer, some subtly and others openly, former President Donald J. Trump? Is that a winning remark? Is that a winning strategy? Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want us to understand today as we face the issues is the fact that we have watched last evening eight. There's others that's not on the stage, were not qualified to, as the Republican Party made the decision of who could be on the stage to do the debating last evening, but eight of them were. Eight were there. What do you think about those eight that were there last evening? I'm vitally concerned, ladies and gentlemen, about some of them. I'm vitally concerned about, listen very carefully. I was impressed with Mike Pence while he was vice president with President Trump, but he whines now that he obeyed the Constitution and was not willing to follow what Trump said, but he was simply going to be obedient to the Constitution. Listen. Listen very carefully. If the Constitution did not afford him the opportunity to do exactly what Trump had asked him to do, and a whole bevy of lawyers had said could be done, that were constitutional things that Pence could do, if that is not true, why is it that right now there's a bill that's fast-tracked through the House and the Senate that will, quote, close the loophole to prevent future vice presidents from being able to do what Pence was asked to do? Ponder that for a while. I don't know about you, but I get a little uptight with the deception and the feigning of honorability to the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned with what I heard last evening. I'm concerned that those that are praising Vivek Ramaswamy, I had to pause to think of the name. I'm concerned because I'm fearful that we could be looking at and being deceived by another Barack Hussein Obama, whom we believe to be a Muslim, whom was responsible for fundamentally changing America, that's still being carried out today through the puppet that's in the Oval Office named Joe Biden. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear that we should not place our trust and confidence in man. We should not depend on man. We should depend on God. And yet I'm always amazed at the number of people think, well, if we can just put that person in. Listen, I'm all for vetting the candidates. I'm all for looking at the political agenda. I'm all for the Christian participating in the political process. I've not missed a local, state, or national election since I registered to vote less than 100 years ago. So I'm in favor of being salt and light in the community and in the nation in which we're living in. But I'm a little bit bothered by those that do not vet the candidates, do not do anything but listen to the power brokers giving the preparation for these that are going to speak, and then be impressed by their canned speeches. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Last evening, we heard many platitudes. We heard many of those many statements of what I call just rhetoric about what's wrong with America. What's wrong with America? All of them said something about the broken borders. Well, we know that. We know we've got a border problem. Listen, where I'm going with this, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Did you watch the debate? What are your positions on that? What did you hear that should be heard, should have been heard, or what was not heard, what was not spoken? What is the fundamental problem? Let me just give you a clear, concise overview of the big brush. All of these candidates talked about problems. All of these candidates talked about what's wrong with America. I did not hear a single resolution spoken by any candidate. I did not hear any candidate to address the real fundamental issues that we have in America. And may I just simply fast forward and say fundamental issues like faith, freedom, and our families. Didn't hear anyone addressing the fact that we're eviscerating our Bill of Rights. Did not hear a candidate talking about what is happening today with the creeping mask mandate and the revival of the COVID lockdowns. One writer called it COVID 2.2. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned. Those that were speaking last night with the platitudes, our borders are broken. They all talked about high inflation, Bidenomics. Did you hear one saying how they were going to resolve the issue of Bidenomics? Did you hear one speaking about how they're going to resolve the border issue? Yeah, I believe there was an allusion to that by Vivek. Said he would build the wall. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the Biden administration's had people to go out, hired by the federal government to go out to the border wall? They have taken torches, steel cutting torches. They've cut 140 doors into the wall to allow the antelope to run freely. Because after all, you don't want to corral the antelopes. That particular one that they are talking about is supposed to be on the endangered species list. And so Biden's philosophy was, we've got to let them roam out of America into Mexico and vice versa. But ladies and gentlemen, hundreds of thousands are still coming through the wall with those open, gaping doors that's been cut in there purposefully by the Biden administration. I did not hear a single candidate last evening address that. Either they're dumb as a rock, or they're under a rock, or they're simply not up to date with what the Biden administration is really doing to be able to address the issue with intellect and with an insight as to what needs to be done. Several talked about our engagement in Ukraine, sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. I didn't hear a real issue spoken about Ukraine. What really is the motivation? What is happening? And what is happening literally is that we have lit the fuse for World War III. We're in a battle today by proxy with Russia and China and Iran, if you want to bring them into the picture. We're watching the stage being set for Ezekiel 38 and 39 to take place, with Russia leading five nations, Islamically controlled, against Israel, and flourishing into an international global conflagration, World War III. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned when I hear the candidates said that Biden had done a horrible job. Horrible job? That's an understatement of the year. I didn't hear a single candidate pointing out what the horrible job was. I didn't hear a single candidate saying how they'd fix that horrible job. I didn't hear a single candidate identifying what Biden has done that's horrible. Now, listen, I know it is. But the point that I'm making, we heard a lot of platitudes, a lot of big picture statements. But for me to listen to a candidate, I need to hear a fix. How do you fix it? What's wrong, and what will you do that's different? What's wrong, and how will you make a change? What's wrong with America? We all know that America's going down a dark path. We all know that America is in danger of absolutely being imploded from the inside. But they didn't address the issue of the real cause, effect, and the prescription for change. Ladies and gentlemen, several of the candidates agreed that America's headed down the wrong path. There was no explanation. There's no explanation given of what path we're going down and what is the change that's necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, simply put, the bottom line is that the candidates were timid. Many of them maybe behind the scenes would talk a little different. but they were timid in addressing some of the real, fundamental, moral, ethical issues that's destroying the foundation of America. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We find in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I believe we're in a state of mourning, and we continue in that state of mourning. But I don't hear a candidate saying that. Don't hear a candidate saying that we have a moral, ethical problem in America. We don't hear a candidate, did not hear a candidate that's speaking. We did have several of the candidates. In fact, I think there were two or three that wanted to attack Donald Trump. Some subtly, some openly wanted to attack Trump. In fact, Nikki Haley just shot herself in the foot with any potential of VP candidacy when she degraded, demeaned, openly bashed President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a real, real problem today. We have a solid border problem, without any question. But ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Here's where I'm going. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we can have a good, solid, closed border. We can have exceptional, powerful military. We can have wonderful law enforcement across America. We can bask in what I would call economic conditions that flourishes. We can have low inflation and all of these things. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Without faith and family and freedom that's afforded to us, given to us by God, codified in our Bill of Rights, we have nothing, nothing, nothing. Did you realize we can be wealthy as a nation? We can be solid as a secure, sovereign nation? We can have all of the affluence that the world can afford. We can have wonderful military protection, police protection, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But without a Bill of Rights, without faith and freedom, ladies and gentlemen, none of it makes any difference. None of it has any value. We have nothing. None, may I say again at the risk of redundancy, none of the candidates discussed even touched on the resolution for the plummeting problems in America. Now, with the big picture, the big broad brush, you could say they did, but they didn't. If you tell me we've got a border problem, if you tell me we have an open border, if you tell me that it ought not to be, tell me how do you plan on fixing it, Vivek? Tell me how you plan on fixing it, Pence? Tell me how you're planning on fixing it, Nikki Haley? All of them said that needs to be fixed. How did President Trump fix it? He had to fight scavenging dollars to buy the material to contract with the contractors to put the wall up for the distance, about, what was it, 500 miles that they got up. The first thing Biden did was start tearing it down, trying to dismantle, now cutting doors in it, as they call it. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. None of the candidates discussed or even touched on the transsexual, transgender garbage that's taken roots in America. Did you hear one candidate saying that was a problem? Did you hear one candidate talking about the abuse of our kids in school as a result of the transgender genocide that's taking place? Did you hear one candidate talking about the number of kids that are being butchered, barbarically so, with their genitals being cut off, their breasts being mutilated? Did you hear one candidate saying, I'm against that, I'm going to reverse that, I'm going to change that? No, we didn't. Why is that so? Because the mindset is, don't want to alienate anybody. Don't want to get the sodomite LGBTQ agenda people all in an uproar. Some of them behind the scenes might say, well, that's bad, that we're all not to do that. Tell me how you're going to resolve it, Mr. Wannabe President, Ms. Wannabe President. That's where I'm standing this morning. That's where I am passionate today. None of them spoke about the open censorship with the private conversations that we have in America. None of them said anything about how they're going to fix the censorship problem, where the government, the DOJ, the FBI, the IRS, the CIA, et cetera, listening to everything that's said, sieving through it, no warrant, violating our Fourth Amendment right. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, are you there?
Hello, this is Bill. Can you hear me?
Hello. Bill, I'm sorry. I thought it was Jim. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
Just one quick question, something I'd heard in a meeting I was attending this morning, and that was that Vivek Ramaswamy had received a grant, I think when he was in college, from George Soros. Have you heard or anything about that?
I've heard that. Vivek, that is true. That is a fact that's already documented, but Vivek tiptoes around it, does not want to admit it, or in some ways tries to shed himself off that fact. You're exactly right.
All right. That was just a question I had. I didn't know how well documented that was.
It is documented in print online, and I can say this. If he accepted it then, what will he accept in the future? I can say also, if you have one that is Barack Obama 2.0, I'm fearful of that. And I believe that's what we have in Vivek. He is a very, very well-spoken, very articulate young man, but so was Barack Hussein Obama, that said he's going to fundamentally change America. Vivek comes across to me at the identical pattern, the cookie-cutter pattern, and I'm frightened to death of that potentiality. But you're exactly right, Bill. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes right through the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, what I am talking about, what I'm passionate about, is that we watched the debate, and all of these wannabe presidents touched on issues in a broad brush fashion, but did not hear a single one of them talking about what they would do about the moral, ethical, debauched condition that we're in America. I'm looking at a headline, transgender coach changes in locker room with shocked Pennsylvania high school students. Several incidents involving a transgender part-time high school tennis coach in Pennsylvania have made some students and parents uncomfortable. And now the school board is divided on whether or not to renew the coach's contract. Employed at Gettysburg Area School District, the coach was hired as David Yates. Mr. Yates now goes by the name of Sasha Yates and publicly identifies as a transgender woman. Mr. Yates has been a seasonal boys and girls tennis coach since 2018. Since the news coverage of the Gettysburg tennis team used the name David Yates in 2021, but in 2022, the coach was being called Sasha Yates. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear anybody with the wannabe candidates last evening in the debate touching on this kind of immoral debauchery in our academic system? Oh, yes, there was one that said, we'll close the Department of Education. Well, I've said for 30 years, 35 years, maybe even 40 years, the U.S. Department of Education ought not to exist. The major, major problem with our educational system in America is the U.S. Department of Education shut it down. Most are not aware of the fact that in May of 2017, Donald J. Trump gave Betsy DeVos, the then head of the U.S. Department of Education, instructions to start dismantling, shutting down the Department of Education. She never followed through. It was never done. That's the problem in America today with the educational system. We understand that. Well, I didn't hear one candidate say that they would shut down the U.S. Department of Education or that's their major problem with it. That is the problem in our educational system today. The reason we're graduating students from high school that can't read, write, and compute any math. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today an issue that I believe should be vital. And that question is, so who won the debate? What did they discuss? Was it fundamental or just arbitrary, capricious? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to take a 1 minute top of the hour news break. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Well, they're off and running, eight Republican presidential candidates sharing the stage in Milwaukee last night, appearing before a packed house of thousands of spectators. Among the issues debated last night, abortion, the economy, and Ukraine. Six of the eight candidates pledged to support former President Trump should he be the GOP nominee. Christie and Hutchinson did not pledge their support for the former president. An alliance of countries aligned against the West is growing. Iran and Argentina, Egypt, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE will be joining the so-called BRICS group of nations. A Moscow court authorizing the ongoing detention of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich through the end of November. He is accused of espionage, charges he, his family, his employer, and the U.S. government all deny. On Wall Street, the Dow opening 4 points higher. More details, srnnews.com.
Are you serving the Lord in any capacity in ministry? Conservative Theological University would like you to call today. CTU now offers partial grant scholarships for new students. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for admissions info for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. Perhaps you didn't watch the debate last night. I don't know. But my question is, who won the debate? On what basis do you make the decision that someone won the debate? Out of the eight wannabe presidents, which one won the debate? And on what barometer, what scale do you make that determination, that decision? Ladies and gentlemen, none, not one of the candidates touched on the real issues with the moral, ethical foundations being destroyed in America. Not one of the candidates touched on the debauchery that's taking place in our public school systems. Not one of the candidates talked about the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that's undermining, tearing down, and destroying the moral, ethical, fundamental fabrics of America today. Not one. Now, is it intentional? Was it? I don't know. But I think it was. I think they're petrified to counter or to challenge or to let the 3.5 to 4% in America that identify in the sodomite community, they're afraid that they might not get their votes. Ladies and gentlemen, you are displeasing 96 to 98% of Americans by pleasing and pandering to and appeasing the sodomite community in our nation and across the state lines, across every state. ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time that we have candidates that's willing to address the issue. I think it's time we have candidates that want to be presidents to address these issues and say what they're going to do. I'm looking at a headline that says, super popular doctor canceled by Chase Bank warns of the social credit system that's already here. Ladies and gentlemen, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank has a growing reputation as a woke bank that shills for left social causes, even as it openly discriminates against conservatives, most recently shutting down the business and personal accounts of a major dissenter of the COVID-19 and what its effect has been on humanity. And I could read the article, but ladies and gentlemen, suffice it to say, I didn't hear a candidate talking about that last night. What do they intend to do about the woke banks that's shutting down, listen, thousands of accounts of conservatives, of patriots, of Christians? Even Franklin Graham said something about recently. I don't have the article before me, but Franklin Graham talked about these woke banks shutting down Christian businesses, Christian individuals' accounts in the banks because they disagree with the Christian or conservative stand on moral ethical issues. I think that's a fundamental problem in America. I think that's one of the major fundamental problems in America. But I didn't hear a wannabe presidential candidate last night addressing that. Is it they're ignorant on what's happening? No. All of them understand what's happening. But ladies and gentlemen, the problem is whether it's Republican, independent, or socialist, Marxist, Democrat, they all are in the same category, in my most humble opinion, of looking at it from the standpoint of the big banks and I can help them with disregard for the general public and what we face each and every day. And ladies and gentlemen, none of them spoke about open censorship. I didn't hear one talking about the open censorship that's being carried out by the DHS, the CIA, the DOJ, the socialist Marxist media, and the big tech platforms that's listening to, following, and censoring everything that we say and do. I have a massive number of emails of information, news articles that I receive every day, hundreds. And some of those I pass on to others. 8 out of 10 that I try to forward do not go out, will not, they will not, it is not allowed to be transmitted. And ladies and gentlemen, the closer we get to the election for November 2024, we're going to find a total media blackout when it comes to telecommunication, when it comes to big tech operation. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't see Biden doing any campaigning, do you? You don't see Biden out on the campaign trail. You see him in his beach chair out at the beach. You see him stumbling through a 3 to 5 minute prepared speech so that he can go on this next jetaway, next hideaway, the next getaway from anything that's called presidential responsibilities. But ladies and gentlemen, don't tell me that these 8 wannabe candidates are not familiar with the fact that there is major, massive censorship take. Oh, yes, I understand we have some committee hearings. I understand that some of those things have been investigated by the Republicans in the House. But did you hear a candidate speaking about that? Did you hear a candidate talking about that as being a problem, ladies and gentlemen, or wanting to address it by any stretch of the imagination? No, I didn't. I'm looking at a headline. Document stash. They've just uncovered a document stash, as it is called. And that document stash, ladies and gentlemen, talks about how it's just been discovered that the FBI is scheming to target all Christians, In fact, just days ago, according to the report, shows that such a scheme proposed in a letter from one FBI office actually was developing and supported by many offices. It turns out the office in Richmond, Los Angeles, Virginia, and Portland, Oregon, all planned to go into churches and spy on churches to see what churches are saying and doing. Did you hear one of the wannabe presidential candidates saying anything about how they're going to stop that, how that is against our Constitution, how that destroys our, eviscerates our Bill of Rights? Did you hear any one of the candidates saying anything about that? Did you hear any one of the candidates last night say anything about the need for America to turn back to God and to seek God's protection? No. The mindset is we don't need God. The mindset is we just need numbers, nickels, and noses. The mindset is we just need to have a good economic base. The mindset is we need to cut inflation. The mindset is we need to shut the border. All of those things are good. They didn't say how they were going to do it, and they didn't go back to any reference to anything that would be holy and honorable before holy God. None of the candidates condemned the decline in America's academic institutions, the communist professors, and the instructors that teach our kids to hate America. You didn't find any of that taking place at all. Nobody said anything about that in their debate and their discussion last evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it ironic where you find, I'm looking at the headline, mother is required to sign a non-disclosure agreement to even enter the public middle school that she was putting her child in, dated August the 23rd. A Texas mother was told early this month that she would not, that she would have to sign a non-disclosure agreement to enter the public school where she was attempting to re-enroll her child, according to a lawsuit obtained by the Daily Caller. Amber Longacre filed a complaint against Judson Independent School District after the school officials told her that she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement to even enter the Kitty Hawk Middle School. According to Longacre, she arrived at the middle school August the 15th to enroll her child for the upcoming school year and was prompted to have to sign the non-disclosure agreement. And the article goes on for three pages, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear any candidate talking about that sort of thing taking place? Did you hear any candidate talking about the fact that it is a shame, it's a disgrace before holy God, it's a evisceration of our Bill of Rights, where a parent is called a domestic terrorist if they stand before a school board and challenge the sodomite agenda of teaching raw porn in the classroom? I didn't. So if you're going to talk about fixing America, you're going to talk about having somebody to vote for you to be president, I need to hear some fundamental, foundational, elemental truths about the real problem and the fundamental, elemental basis of what those problems are and how you're going to fix them. Did you hear any of the candidates talking about the digital currency that's about to come out? All of them are familiar with it. Looking at the headline, 57 banks certified by Biden for a digital money executive order. FedNow digital payment system. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the world's most intensive, most intrusive, most controlling identification, digital ID, that could ever be devised by man. And I didn't hear a single wannabe presidential candidate questioning that last evening. That tells me they're for it. I believe we have Dr. Davis on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Very good. Very good. You know, I thank God for, you know, what you're saying on today, you know, concerning the supposedly to be debate, you know, that was on, that it took place on the stage last night. I didn't get to see it all, but what I saw, Dr. Youngblood, no one on the stage would qualify to receive my vote.
That's right.
Number one thing for me, let me not say number one, but one of the major concerns, you know, that I didn't hear anyone address. I mean, because this, what they did kind of reminded me of like a play, you know, Hamlet or Macbeth or something where, you know, the character steps forth and does a soliloquy, what's called a soliloquy. They're only speaking what's on their mind, no matter who's listening. You know, it's not anything of any major concern, but it reminded me of them just play acting on the stage last night. But, you know, one of the main things that kind of stuck out with me, you know, that nobody didn't seem to address was, what are they going to do about the degrading condition of our military? I mean, when we look at, you know, that's a great big problem, because if we don't have anyone to be able to send out to defend our country, I mean, it's evident that we're going to, you know, evidently we're going to be in another war sooner or later. But we're going to need men and women, you know, qualified people that's going to be able to be true American soldiers and, you know, fight the battle and, you know, do whatever's necessary to defend our country. And not only that, I mean, again, you know, you said something about the border walls and different things like that. I mean, there were many things that no one seemed to touch on, but I listened intently, you know, with, I would say, maybe the last maybe 30 minutes of the debate, I think, is probably all I was able to listen to. But no one said anything about the military, you know, and that was just a great concern to me.
Absolutely. That is a major concern. It has been devolved into a equity scenario where the formerly with most all of our presidents in the past and with the chiefs of staff in the Pentagon, when they'd look for military enrollment or enlistment, they would look for somebody that had the qualifications, the agility and the ability to fight the battle. Now they're looking at it. Are you homosexual? Are you transsexual? Do you agree with the LGBTQ? Are you for the equity-based approach for enrollment, enlistment, and going up the ladder of promotions? That's the whole thing. We've got a weak military today as a result of the sodomite agenda that's being promulgated by Biden and all of his chiefs of staff and those that's in charge of our branches of military. You're exactly right, Pastor. And I believe that it's time we look at the fundamental foundational erosion of the morals and ethics and values in America if we're going to expect God to bless America. And they all talked about making America, they didn't use the term, make America great again. But the only way that America can face anything that would be called or coming close to being called greatness is when we turn back to God, when we submit and surrender to God, when we recognize that there's a need. I'm looking at a headline that says, U.S. funding research to develop stealth, that's S-T-E-A-L-T-H, censorship for all of Americans. A free speech watchdog is warning that the U.S. government has already funded research intended to develop censorship programs, ways to censor the Americans, and see whether or not they can find out everything that's being said in America. So, Pastor, I'm concerned about our freedom of speech, our freedom from the intrusion from the federal government. I'm concerned about that, and yet I didn't hear a wannabe candidate say anything about it last evening. So I think that we need to pray and ask God to give us divine intervention.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, again, going back to what I said earlier, you know, no one on that entire stage seemed to be serious about, you know, what we're facing in this country. I mean, it's high time to wake out of sleep. You know, we've been kind of basically operating like a third world country, even when it comes down to, you know, the military. I read a few things in the headlines about, you know, some confrontations that happened, you know, out in the Mediterranean Sea. I think it was one place where one of the aircraft carriers were out there, and I think they were some planes or something flew in a little bit close, sort of threatening, you know, the area, in other words, where they were at. I'm sure that that's something that they're not used to not being able to retaliate for. But, you know, for some reason, whoever's in charge of that is telling them to stand down. You know, don't fire upon them unless they fire upon you. I mean, what if they get a direct hit?
Yep.
You know, then you're not able to fire back. It's just
that's taking place with the Iranians.
Sense.
That's taking place with the Chinese in the South China Sea, where if you get anything near where the islands, they built man-made islands, about 10 or 12 islands. They have ammunition stored on and missiles stored on for retaliation against other nations. And yes, that's taking place, and the Biden administration turns a blind eye because the Biden administration is owned and controlled by Russia and China and Iran, and they cannot say no or they cannot stand up to the protection of America as a result of it. So, Pastor, you're exactly right.
They made me sick to my stomach, Dr. Youngblood. I couldn't stand to watch the entire thing. I'm kind of glad that I only caught about maybe the last 20 or 30 minutes because, again, it reminded me of someone doing a Macbeth or a Hamlet play. I mean, they weren't serious about anything.
I
think about two nights ago on the Eric Bolling show, I believe I was watching him, and he played a clip from Nikki Haley, I think, having a few words to say to the Swami. That's all I can say. I can't pronounce his name. I just call him the Swami.
The Swami.
Basically, you know, he has said something about cutting off aid to Israel. I mean, that's going to be the greatest mistake we can ever make, you know, as
Absolutely.
An ally to Israel. If we ever cut off aid to them, then God is going to turn his back on us, and no telling what's going to happen next. So I just wanted to say that.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for joining the discussion. You're spot on. It requires our serious prayer, asking God to intervene in this election cycle and in the trajectory and the direction that America is going in. Thank you so much for calling. Yes, have a blessed day. I believe Raymond is on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Appreciate you having this conversation and, of course, taking my call. And, you know, I couldn't help but to call in since I had a quick minute here and to give my little rundown here and my thoughts on that debate. I'm a junkie, so I enjoy watching it. Of course, it does make you sad to see how the whole situation as a whole. But I'll give you this rundown. I call him Swami, as y'all were just saying, and the last caller there that mentioned that Vivek, however you say his name, Swami, Ramaswamy, that's it. You know, he's obviously got a major issue with, you know, understanding the biblical understanding of our support of Israel. I can't remember what all it was, but he's negative against that. So that's one of the worst blows against him in my book. Yes. I do think that he came across as, it's sort of like Trump in a way. You either love or hate him, according to what I'm seeing from everybody. It clearly, when I hear, I'm looking over social media, more establishment-leaning people were just appalled by him, and everybody else seemed to like him and love him. And I think that he sort of, you could say he won the debate. He had the most to gain from it. I really do believe he gained the most. I don't support him. You know, I'm going to support Trump. I've said it. I'm saying it again publicly. I'll vote for Trump, even if he's sitting in a jail cell, because we see what's going on. So, but as far as the debate, I think he did gain the most. I still, you know, we all still like DeSantis. I want him to stay here as governor. I'm sorry that he's listening to a lot of big establishment and globalist leaders that are, I guess, trying to get him in to be, you know, against Trump. But I think the Governor DeSantis still was, when he spoke, he did well, but he underperformed. There was just something about it. He just wasn't able to really get in and be the one that, and I kind of knew, in my opinion, going into it, that Swami was going to be the one that was going to shine, and he did. He's just really quick, on his feet, says all the right, you know, anti-establishment things. He does say, he talks the game. Okay, I don't want voters to be deceived by this guy. He talks the talk, but he really doesn't walk the walk, this Vivek Ramaswamy guy. Okay, he says a lot of things now that he said differently, you know, kind of pro-mask and all this stuff, anti-Trump years back with things that's on record. But to me, he's the new young guy, and here's what he is. This is just my opinion. It's like he's suddenly, the Republicans are now living back in 2008. He is a Republican version of the 2008 Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
The brand new young guy who says all the right things and is quick. I mean, you got to give him credit, man. The guy can debate. He can talk. He says the right stuff. You know, he's talking all this great talk about, you know, be all against this transgender stuff. I mean, they may not have talked about it last night, but I want to make sure that people, your listeners, understand this. If you listen closely, and this past weekend on Saturday, I got somehow down a YouTube rabbit trail and listened to 3 or 4 hours of the Mr. Ramaswamy on various hour long interviews and stuff. Now, recently, he had an encounter that was a video of, I don't know if it was a lesbian or LGBT. It was obviously a liberal woman that kind of approached him at the Iowa State Fair recently.
It was a woman that said she was pan-gender.
Oh, okay. Right. So, but if you listen closely, he, you know, like I've had some people say, oh, he called the LGBT alphabet a cult, and he's all for all these things that we're for. But if you listen very close, the man still does not share a true and correct biblical worldview.
How can he as a Hindu?
Well, that's right. That's right. He is that. Yeah, and I was gonna say that. So he's a Hindu. He's not Christian. Okay, and I do agree that in his defense, I do agree that being Hindu, he still talks the talk and says the right things even more better than the establishment guys. But this is the point I wanted to make about it. If you pay attention, he clearly says there's nothing wrong with homosexuals. He is not opposed to homosexuality and sodomy and LGBT stuff. He's just not. He has made it clear in several talks that I saw, and that is the message of the modern big tent Republican Party. They are moving away. You know, they'll fight about, oh, well, men shouldn't be in women's sports and we don't need to mutilate children and all this drag queen story hour. They love all that, but it is like the big sin that you cannot oppose homosexuality from a biblical worldview. And so he is guilty of that. But let me move on away from him real quick and just say this. I know our time's running out. I wasn't expecting the Pence Ramaswamy back and forth last night. I think that Pence obviously must have listened to his consultants. I think he trained well to force his way to be somebody in that debate, but it had the, you know, him and everybody knows Christie's just there to attack Trump. So the funny thing, well, it's not so funny, but if you want to make it funny, I think that Pence and Christie clearly, we're Christians, we can't use bad words. So let me say it this way. They showed themselves to be the southern end of a mule headed north. Okay. I mean, I think that they just ruined themselves. And, you know, I cringe and just sickened by Pence's fake Christianity, play that card. You know, the guy that can talk it the well the most, but is the biggest liar and hypocrite. So,
well, I will say this, and harmony with what you just said. For some time, as he was with Donald Trump, I had respect for Mike Pence, but he's shown himself to be anti-America, as I see it very clearly, even though he claims stick to the Constitution. He has a total, if I'm not mistaken, what are his numbers now? 6%? And the latest I heard for President, latest for President Trump was 62%, with Ron DeSantis. What is he at 16% now with the Swami, as you call him? I think he's at 7 or 8%. So we've got, as I call them, a lot of wannabe presidents out there. But none of them, listen, Raymond, I'm looking at headline says lockdowns 2.0. Mask, social distancing, more are creeping back as election season builds. With little more than a year of the 2024 election, the reappearance of some of the COVID-era protocols has sparked concerns that more widespread measures may be ordered in months ahead. And it talks about now on CNN, they're saying that we need to go back to social distances, bans on large gatherings, isolation and quarantines in accordance with the CDC, contact tracing, symptoms monitoring, regular hand washing and sanitation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're headed for another lockdown in the fall, and the Republicans on the wannabe stage last evening, I believe, are aware of that. They did not touch on it, did not squeak about it, did not say what they would do to prevent it. I believe that we're headed for that to make it look as though we must do that to protect the election, only to steal the 2024 election, just as they did in 2020 and 2022.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Raymond, it deserves our prayer as Christians. I believe we need to turn back to God. They need to look to God, confess our sins, seek God's face, and ask God to heal our land, because God's divine intervention, and I say his divine intervention by putting Trump in office so that he can clean the sewer, is the only hope for the salvation of America. And I'm not putting trust and confidence in a man, but in the sovereign intervention of God to put the man in office that can do the job that God would have done. Raymond, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you